Welcome to episode 14 of the Hot Mess Roundtable. I'm Lauren, and this week I am a hot mess because it is that time of the school year. It is coming close to the end of the school year, and it seems like everything is happening all at once. We have book fair and Grandparents Day and our fundraiser and our fun fest. And yeah, it's just a lot.
You guys do a color run too?
That's what we're doing this year for our spring fundraiser. Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
So doing the color run.
Oh, that's exciting though.
It will be fun. Yeah. It's going to require me being at the school for like 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah. That PTA thing's it's a commitment.
That masses is a full-time job that I don't get paid for.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. It really
is. I agree with him on that one.
But it's fun because I get to do the shit with my kids versus not with my kids. So it's worth it. But
that's good.
But yeah, it's just that time of year. There's just a lot going on.
Okay. My name is Jordan. I am a hot mess this week. I'll have to tell you a story about it.
Please do.
Okay. We went to Chili's. I love Chili's. They have a quesadilla explosion salad that I like to get. It's delicious.
We had Chili's last night.
Did you?
Yeah. We never have Chili's. It was good.
I love Chili's quesadilla explosion salad without the chicken. So we were at Chili's and, you know, like, okay, girls, you have experienced this, I'm sure, where you're at a restaurant or whatever, and like your husband goes to the bathroom and like the waiter's flirting with you or whatever, or thinks you're on a date and flirts with you, which like I just feel like is a thing women experience all the time. Or I hate going to Walmart because if I go to Walmart, like I won't go to Walmart because if I go to Walmart by myself, inevitably some creepy guy will like follow me around or try to talk to me. And I can't handle it. I think it's because I'm not like super pretty. I'm like so average looking. They feel like maybe they could get me. You know, like I'm on their level. You know what I mean? And so I just like attract creepy guys and they always talk to me. And so it drives me crazy, but I don't typically experience it with Thor. Like when Thor's with me, he's a big intimidating guy.
Say, oh yeah.
He's intimidating. No one's gonna fuck with you. Gonna mess with you. Yeah.
So I flat out will not go to Walmart if Thor's not with me. Like it's not happening.
Yeah.
And it's amazing because Target, I can wander around by myself. No problem. No one ever bothers me.
All the freaking creeps go to Walmart.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but okay. So anyway, so no one ever bothers me when I'm with Thor. No one ever tries to flirt with me or talk to me or, you know, like it was just how I want to live my life. Mm-hmm. Right. And so we're at Chili's and there's this waiter and he's young. He's like early 20s and he is like laying on the charm thick right in front of Thor. And I'm like, and it's like I'm just like thinking about it. And I'm like, why? And he's like so campy. And then it dawns on me. He's doing it because I'm fucking old now. Oh, and the joke is I flirt with the middle-aged lady and she gives me a bigger tip and the husband doesn't mind because it's an open joke that of course I wouldn't want to actually date this old lady. And like this hit me like a ton of bricks in the middle of Chili's and I was like, oh, this is the first time I've been flirted with like this. Like, cause you know, like, and I think you grew up watching people do it to your mom, right? Where it's right. Just like very campy and very like mm-hmm. obviously just trying to flatter her. And my mom is a very pretty lady. And so she got flirted with a lot or still does, I'm sure, you know, by like these campy guys. And so I'm like, oh shit. I am like the middle-aged old lady now that people are flirting with openly for a tip, not because he wants my phone number, but because I'm old and he thinks I'll tip better if he flirts with me.
Yeah.
And so I cried in Chili's because I'm old now.
What did Thor say? God.
Thor was like, do we think this is an overreaction? Do you see what's happening
at Chili's?
I feel like
he overthought this just
a little
bit. That's exactly what he said too. He kept saying like, do you really think maybe you're just reading something? Like maybe he really does just want in your pants. And I was like, I know he doesn't because he wouldn't have done it in front of you.
Right.
Like, this is because I'm old.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that. No, I don't.
It was that I'm old moment. It was like one of my first I'm old moments.
You're not old. If you're old, I'm old.
Well, I was also trying to take a selfie the other day. And I was like, oh, my God, my skin. Like, I'm going to have to start going to see, like, a dermatologist about, like, my aging skin. Like, it just does not look as good
go
as it
used to. Go see Ashley, my esthetician.
There you go.
Yeah.
I had a moment like that today when at the doctor's office, I was there to see my PCP to just get my, really just to get my drugs refilled. And they were like, oh, you haven't had a physical. Let's schedule your physical. I'm like, I'm not even 40. Like, I don't need a physical, like a yearly physical. Like, what is this?
Yeah.
And yeah, they scheduled me a physical.
Because we're old.
And I'm like, I'm not old enough to have like a mammogram. I mean, I don't know what we're going to do with this physical, but I've got a physical in a couple months. So
they're going to like check because you're old. I'm telling you.
But my blood pressure was 122 over 78.
Oh, that's pretty good.
It's like perfect.
Yeah. Good work.
See, I don't need a fucking physical. Well, you're not old. If you're old, I'm old, obviously.
Okay, but
we're the same age.
If you were in my situation,
I probably, if I had read into it like that, I would have hit me too. Yes, I don't know if I would have cried.
I was just sitting here thinking you're talking about that, and I remember specifically there was a night Cliff and I went out, and the waitress that we had was blatantly flirting with him right in front of me.
Oh, I'm used to that. The waitresses love Thor.
And I was just like, bitch, hello. And like, she wouldn't look at me. And I was just, this is a restaurant we used to go to all the time. And I'm like,
I haven't had him not be willing to look at me. That's pretty brass.
She wouldn't look at me.
Weird.
That's weird.
Cliff's like, I should give you the card and be like, you're the one paying. And I'm like, I just want to get out of here.
God. I don't think anyone has ever flirted with me in front of Matt or vice versa.
This is the first time it's ever happened where someone flirted with me in front of Thor. But I mean, women love to flirt with Thor.
Yeah.
I think he's attractive. He's my silver fox, I always say. But he, he just has a good personality. You know, yeah. He just like talks to people. Mm-hmm. And so, but it's never bothered me. That has never, ever bothered me. It's especially because it's usually like slightly older women flirting with him. And I'm always like, whatever, that's funny, you know. But like this whole like young guy flirting with me, like clearly because I'm old and he wants a better tip. I was just like, no, like this is what you do to old women. Like this is
right.
This is a clear sign of age and I'm not OK with it. No. So that was sad. That was my little breakdown at Chili's.
Well, like I told you, if you're old, then I am fucking ancient. I am 10 years older than both of you, so I'm just sitting here going, shit, if you guys think you're old, I am fucked.
I don't think I'm old. I mean, old is not the right word, but I mean, I'm definitely into like solidly entering middle age, and I don't think I'm ready for it.
But do you feel old?
Well, I mean, in the moment at Chili's, whenever the 22-year-old was flirting with me so that I would give him a bigger tip in front of my intimidating husband, yeah, I sure felt old. Sure did. And when I was trying to do that selfie and I like could not, like my face did not look very smooth. I was like, oh, but no, not typically. Typically, I still feel very young. Mm-hmm. And I still feel like it's also weird to me because I'm hitting that age now where like there are younger people than me that I work with.
Mm-hmm.
But years, so I work in a very corporate environment. And for years, I was the youngest person in that environment for like a decade.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden I hire interns that are like half my age.
Yeah. Yes.
And I'm like,
that were born in like this millennium.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm just like, oh, you guys are like so young.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm kind of starting to like get into that where like there's people younger than me. And I'm like, oh,
that really is like the only part that makes me feel old. I think it's because I've been there so long, but it's like, you know, when I started, all these, you know, oh, I was the young one, you know, all these are older. And now I'm like, I could be your mom.
Yeah.
You know, that's a little intimidating. Not intimidating. It's just kind of like, wow, an eye-opening experience, I guess.
So, yeah, it makes you feel old.
It does. It sure does.
At some point at work, at least, I remember going from being like the kid on the team. Like everyone was like my parent, like parented me to being like the parent on the team.
Yep.
And I was the kid on the team even when I was like a parent, like had Collier, but I still was like the young kid on the team. And you know, they were all like wanting to give me stage advice and, you know, just kind of take care of me.
Yeah.
And then at some point you're like, oh, you're doing that with like the interns or just newer people.
Yeah. So young and green. I know. Yeah, it is. It's an interesting piece. I do also always feel old every time I talk to Lauren and she's like, you're like an old cat lady. She tells me that like at least once a week.
I mean, you act like an old Cali.
So if I'm not talking to Lauren or eating at Chili's or at work, then I don't feel that old. But if I'm any of those places.
But we are the same age. So
I just don't want to go out there into that scary world. And that's what we're going to talk about today. That's what we're
going to talk about today.
Yeah, it's a perfect story.
Well, I'm Amanda, and the girls were giving me a bunch of crap about this, but I can't think of a hot mess that's happening to me right now. Not that I'm saying I've got my shit together by any means.
This is the second podcast out of 14 that your shit has been so together. Like, you're going to get voted off of the hot mess
island. I'm going to get voted off the table. Yeah.
You're going to have to be like the I'm not a hot mess, my shit is together mentor to me and Lauren.
No.
I mean,
I've got other stuff going on, but, you know, not any that I'm just like, holy hell, you know. But I'm just, I know we've done this numerous times. I'm tired of this cold shit that we've got going on. I'm ready for warmth. I'm ready for summer. I'm ready for spring. That just irritates me. Could we go from a great weekend a couple weekends ago, and now we're down in the freaking freezing temperatures again.
This is like such a responsible lady answer.
Well, it's supposed to be nice this weekend.
It's an old lady answer.
I mean,
so
I'm with you because waking up with it being, 28 today,
this morning? Yeah.
My little ducks were shivering out there.
Oh, the poor ducks.
Yeah, they're in the backyard now.
You'll have to post a picture of the duck's new pin in the Facebook group.
Matt worked all weekend on it.
Oh.
Yeah, he worked very hard on doing something he had no idea how to do.
We want to see duck updates.
Yes. Okay, I can do that. What are we drinking this week, Amanda?
Well, we are drinking one of my favorites. I looked it actually up to get the real recipe so that we had actual measurements and not just, you know, measure with your heart.
I was willing to measure with my heart.
Oh, I measured this with my heart all the time, except for today for you guys. I didn't want to have to, you know, mess it up. But its technical name is a vanilla lime mule.
Oh, it sounds yummy.
It is 1.5 ounces of Crown Royal vanilla. So let's see. I did a splash of lime juice, and it says 3 ounces of ginger beer. So
normally, where does the vanilla come in?
The vanilla Crown.
Oh, what is Crown Royal?
Crown Royal is whiskey.
Oh, great.
I'm sure somebody's your dad will definitely can correct me on that one. I do not normally drink a lot of whiskey. This is about all I drink. But I was one of Cliff's friends actually turned me onto this, and his mix was half and half. So, and it was a big cup, but, it's very good. It's one of my favorites, but yeah, it's a mule. So
I had an uncle who really liked Crown Royal, but I think he just drank it straight.
I cannot do that. Nope. It's gotta have something in it. So cheers, ladies.
Cheers.
I mean, it's strong, but this is way better than that whiskey sour we had.
Well, this is definitely one. If you don't like ginger, you will not like this.
But you can taste the vanilla, too.
I love a Moscow Mule.
Yeah, I do. I do like it. So this is my favorite, and we will post it for you guys.
Yummy.
Yay. Thank you, Amanda.
Mm-hmm. All right. This week, we're talking all about social anxiety.
Yeah. So do you guys have it?
Yes.
Didn't we just talk about it with Jordan?
I feel like everybody already knows that. Anyone that's listened to a single episode of this podcast is like, there's something wrong with that girl.
Yeah.
As I'm getting older, I get it. I've gotten it more. I don't like to be in the crowds. It just stresses me out when we are someplace new with tons and tons of people. Like, I can't do it. So, but I do go to the grocery store. I have learned that if I go to Walmart to go to the store, like on the weekend or whatever, I put my earbuds in.
Oh, yeah.
And it really helps me.
And then the creepy guys don't talk to you?
Yep. Because they can't. I've got my earbuds in.
Every time I've been to Walmart without Thor, I've had a creepy guy talk to me. Nope. Like, I cannot do that anymore. I cannot go to that place.
Nope. Yeah. No, I put them in and I just go, and it helps me. I don't give a shit what it does to anybody else. I don't care if I'm rude to somebody else. I mean, I'm in there for a reason, and I want to get it done and get out.
Yeah. That is good. Although I also don't want to be in Walmart because I don't want to have to touch the cart. And you go to Walmart because you have to get several items, right? Like, otherwise you're not going to that store. And I don't want to touch that cart. I think it's dirty. I don't really even trust the wipes. Like, I just don't want anything to do with it.
Well, so after you shop,
I pay the extra money to have it delivered to my house.
Okay, we're talking about you trying to have a baby. You're going to have to get over that germ thing on Lauren.
Yep.
Well,
Kids are nasty.
Kids are disgusting and they bring in germs.
Yeah.
I know, because I feel like every time I talk to my nieces, I come back sick. So, which is like every single week.
Yeah.
So.
It just rotates through our house.
I don't know, maybe I'll never have a baby and I won't have to worry about it. I don't know. I'll cross that bridge when I come to it.
Well, we hope you cross that bridge.
If the kid gets sick, if I do have a baby and it gets sick, it's going to have to go stay with KK because that's gross.
I mean, she's a nurse.
She's a nurse.
Good excuse.
That's a house full of nurses over there.
That's right. KK and Papa are both nurses.
That's right.
They'll take good care of that baby and bring it back when the snot is gone.
I just straight up like pick Goldie's nose now and just like so wipe gross. It on a.
That's nasty.
I did that.
I was a kid though. I was little, like when I was teeny tiny, maybe I've just always been messed up. When I was teeny tiny, I would go to my mom and I'd be like, dirty. My hands are dirty. And I would want her to wipe my hands off. And I still like don't want to be dirty. I don't want to. It's gross. And so maybe I'll just have a little mini Jordan and they'll be as like neurotic as I am and it'll be totally fine.
And then you're going to go, what the hell did I do?
Yeah.
No, we'll just be in a clean house.
You'll live in your house together.
Yeah. And like in high school, I would always have to like, now I remember when I was a little kid, like my room would just get trashed. But like in high school, like if I had to do homework or something, I'd have to like clean my room and make my bed before I could focus on my homework.
I literally just had this conversation with your mom.
Oh.
Yeah. She said that you always had to.
I like how you're talking about me with my mom.
Your mom said that you always had to clean your desk off and it had to be perfect before you did your homework. Whereas Jessie just did her homework.
Jessie was like a freaking human tornado, like just shoes and shirts and backpacks and just shit trailed her everywhere she went through the house. And you were just like, how do you even have this many accessories? Like it was just amazing. And she'd have like clothes she just slept on top of her. Like she was a messy kid. Like she really did. I did not know. Like I still my house, like now it's like the entire main floor of my house. Because I work from home. So now it's like the entire main floor of my house has to stay picked up. Mm-hmm. Like if there's dishes in the sink, I like can't work.
I noticed that just now.
I just need everything to be clean. That's probably not social anxiety, which was what we're supposed to be talking about. That's just Jordan's own special flavor of
that's just anxiety.
Mental illness or anxiety or whatever it is. I don't know. But let's talk more about social anxiety.
Yeah, let's do it.
Do you have it, Lauren?
So I have actually been diagnosed with anxiety and depression, which is why I take my fun drug cocktail. I don't know that my anxiety has been specified as social anxiety, but yes, I would say that I have it. And I would say that being medicated helps with it.
Oh, I can believe that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you take like a general anxiety pill kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I take Wellbutrin and Effexor, between the two of them, it helps with my depression and anxiety. So
I was on Wellbutrin when I was in college, or maybe right after like that time period, for just clinical depression. I was never mm-hmm. diagnosed with anxiety, but I'm confident if I went back now, you guys, like,
oh yeah,
some psychiatrist would just have a field day with me and be like, let's talk about all of your diagnoses. So I'm not gonna go. Screw that.
Yeah,
she'd have to leave the house.
Well, then, yeah, that's true.
No, there's plenty of mental health. You can get it from your own home.
You can do virtual.
Yeah, better help yourself and do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah.
Go get your help.
Yes.
Okay, so only social anxiety in large crowds because you have your shit together. Lauren and I are a little more unhinged. Mm-hmm. So how do you combat your social anxiety?
I don't know if this is combating social anxiety, but how I work around it, I would say I'm fine if I'm going out with, if I'm going someplace with my husband or my mom or a friend. It's where I struggle is going to someplace I've never been before by myself. Freaks me out. I don't know what it looks like. Where are the bathrooms?
Oh yeah.
What do I expect?
Like, I'm not doing that.
Yeah. Do you pay, you know, if it's a restaurant, do you pay at the table or do you pay at the register? Like, just stuff like that freaks me out. If I'm with my husband, who is a social butterfly, like I don't worry about it at all. He'll figure it out. Like he'll just go do stuff. He's the one that will go up to someone in a store and ask where something is. Like I'm not going to do that. So I would say that that is one way. Another way is I feel like when I am confident in myself, like when I feel like I look put together, mm-hmm. maybe I put makeup on, have not sweatpants on, I feel like I do better out in public too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good point. I feel like I do better if I make myself up in general.
Yeah.
Even if I'm just staying at home. Like when I first started working from home, I kind of went through that phase that I feel like everybody does where it's like, oh, sweatpants on the bottom, work shirt on top, you know, really light makeup or scrape your hair back and not worry about it. And I learned that I just wasn't as productive.
Yep.
And mm-hmm. didn't feel as good about myself in general. So I will like every day get up full routine. Like I could leave the house and go anywhere because I don't like to leave the house without makeup anyway. Like mm-hmm. that's kind of my thing is I love my makeup. And so I do my hair every morning, do a full face of makeup, put on like a real outfit. And the only thing I allow myself is slippers instead of shoes or fuzzy socks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Other than that, I usually put my jewelry on every day. Like I get ready for the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think it gives me less anxiety because I feel more confident even on my virtual visits or on mm-hmm. my virtual meetings.
Right.
I feel more confident. Lots of times I'm leading those or facilitating some sort of conversation for those. And I feel more confident and like I just feel more put together, even yeah. though yeah. probably truthfully they couldn't tell if I had yeah. done the lighter right. version. But I just feel better.
Yep.
I would agree with that. When I first started working from home, you know, the few days that I have, I did the same thing. I was like, I'm not going to do this. I'm just going to get up with my pajama pants on. I'm going to go mm-hmm. to work. And I was just like, I felt so non-productive.
Yeah.
And it's like, just going to get up and get ready for work just like you normally would every day. And I do. I feel better when I do it that way.
Yeah, that's a good one. Although I don't know if it helps me. I mean, it probably would help me better out in public, but I don't know. Like, I feel like the way I combat social anxiety is by not doing that. Like, I don't go out of the house.
Well, so I'm thinking, so during the week, I have to go in places every day. I have to walk my daughter into school and I have to walk my littles, my mm-hmm. younger daughter and my son, younger son also into school and drop them off. So like I can't just hide in like a drive-thru line. Mm-hmm. So if I have to at least wear clothes, like not pajamas. But if I have like sweatpants and a t-shirt on, I'm going to like walk in, drop them off. I'm not going to be saying hi to people. I'm going to have my head down or like take my phone, have my head in my phone. If I put on like real clothes, like today I had real clothes on, jeans and a sweater, and I walk in, I'm good. Hey, how are you?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, how, you know,
yeah.
good morning. Like I'm just more apt to like talk to people and just have that confidence in myself. Yeah. And it's something so little, but it makes a big difference.
You know, I think a lot of that, just like getting yourself together in the morning, I will say that one of my biggest pet peeves is when I go to a store or I go to work and there's people or whoever that come in and they're in pajama pants yeah. and slippers. Nothing pisses me off more. You're coming in to meet with somebody and you're in pajama pants and slippers.
That's crazy.
Are you out of your freaking mind?
I'm that way too.
I've just never, I mean, my mom always brought me up. You leave the house, you get ready to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get really frustrated with Cameron because, you know, she'll roll out in sweatpants or slippers. And I'm like, babe, come on, just, you know, get ready. And she's like, I'm fine. And I'm okay. I'm gonna let you live your life.
I mean, sweatpants, I probably did not wear for a long time. I will wear them now, like as a mom, especially.
I don't even wear leggings
And I'll wear leggings. Nope. My butt has to be covered.
Yes. If I do, I say no. But if I have a pair of couple that I wear with boots but my butt has to be
covered. Yeah, my butt has to be covered.
Yeah.
Like anything flannel or like a printed pajama pant.
The fuzzy pajama pants.
No. Yeah, I will not wear those in public.
You guys are cracking me up. So I also don't wear any of that stuff in public. Although I do have some leggings, but they're thick leggings. Yes. All of my leggings are fleece lined.
Yeah.
Pro tip. That's the only way to go.
Yep.
Because they keep you warm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They hide.
Yeah. Or if I wear a skirt, I'm usually wearing like fleece lined tights under it. You know, like I like to be warm. So I don't wear pajama pants or really even sweatpants out. I mean, I will wear sweatpants to my parents' house and that's it.
Yeah.
But I don't wear them if I'm going anywhere. But it has never bothered me to see other people wear. Like, I'm just like, wear whatever you want. Just don't talk to me. Like, yeah. Wear whatever you want. Do you. Be happy. Go live your life. Just don't interact with me and we'll be all good.
So you're not nearly as judgy as Amanda and I.
No, because literally when I am out in public, all I am thinking is like,
I want to go home.
Can I get out of this situation? Yeah. I did like what you said, though, where like if you were with Matt or your mom, like it was much, much better. Mm-hmm. That's how I am. So my mom and my husband are both very outgoing people and have no problem talking to others. My dad is a lot like me, except he also has like this executive presence where he's like, I'll talk to the waitress and make sure she's waiting on us. You know, like, so like mm-hmm. all three of them, I feel like they'll take care of me. So I will go anywhere with the three of them. Like,
yeah.
Anywhere they want to go, I can go with any of the three of them. If one of the three of them is not with me, I'm not going there. Unless I like know where, like Target. I can go wander on Target on my own. Like, I feel like it's a safe space for me. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to some random new restaurant or to some new store I've never been in.
By yourself. Some,
no, hard
or
no.
Especially like hard a pass. Bar or like, yeah, somewhere
yeah, well, yeah, no.
where you're going to like, hit, you're not running into getting, get something like you're hanging yeah. out.
Oh, I wasn't going to do that without one of the three of them anyway, because
right.
yeah, that
one of you. Little, I mean, like, I wasn't going to do that anyway. Yeah. Like,
we've done that. We've, you know, gone to different bars and, you know, tried new ones. And I'm just like, I want to sit over here in the corner. And, you know, but mm-hmm. I'm like you. If as long as Cliff is with me, I'm good.
Yeah, you have like you know, protection.
I've got that protection.
Mm-hmm.
I did for a little while, for about a year and a half. I was dragging Thor to all these local bars because I was like, I want to find a neighborhood bar. I loved the concept of just like a local place that I could go to regularly enough to get really comfortable mm-hmm. at and having like a regular place where they had drinks I liked and we could just go and have like one drink after work and just unwind a little bit mm-hmm. and then go home mm-hmm. or whatever that looked like. I never really found one that I liked. There is the Roost on Sunshine, which
is kind of out of the way, yeah. isn't it?
Well, not from my house. I mean, it's just like down the road from me. But it
that's true.
It has a shuffleboard, which I love. My dad mm-hmm. used to have a shuffleboard in our basement when I was growing up, and I loved playing shuffleboard. So I like that I can go to the Roost and play shuffleboard. And I like that the shuffleboard's in like a separate room from mm-hmm. the main area. And mm-hmm. so it's usually just me and Thor in there. So I do kind of like to go and do that. I don't love, though, that the Roost has a lot of live entertainment.
See, that's what the only reason I go.
Well, it's just so freaking loud.
Yeah.
Like, loud noises kill me.
Yeah.
I don't like super loud stuff. And so because I'm messed up, you guys.
Well, I mean, if you're going to someplace to hang out and talk with your partner or your friend, no, yeah. you don't want it to be loud.
No, you don't.
If you're going somewhere and to see a show, you want it to be loud.
That's why I liked Parlor 88, because you could get in those little cubbies that they had. And you could just sit and talk. And if there was music playing, you were still kind of, you know, isolated enough that you could still have a conversation, but you could hear the music or whatever.
Yeah.
And now they've changed it.
I have
it's not like that.
A really good friend named Chris who was sending me to like all these CD bars in Springfield. And I was like, Chris, we need to like step it up. And I like, this is not
a little bit classier.
Like, yeah, like a little bit like Thor and I would go or like we'd look at it and we'd be like, we're not going in there.
Yeah. You know? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So he'd be like, oh, you should go try this place. And I'd be like, oh, shit, this is not like we just set
that. Like Silverleaf or.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It was like Dennis's place or like where oh, yeah, and it was yeah. like, it was like, I don't think we're looking at the same kind of bar.
We used to go to Uncle Bentley's.
Yes.
Yeah. I really liked
Uncle Bentley's. And it was classy.
Yeah.
And my friends, Adam and Amanda, they live in Kansas City now. But for a long time, Adam worked like just right across National. And so every Friday night, that's where they were. Mm-hmm. They were at Uncle Bentley's and we knew that we could just show up there and they would be there. And they had popcorn and good drinks yeah. and a nice heated patio. And it was like a clean, you know, we knew the bartenders. Yeah. The other night I went out last Friday with my other field moms and we went to the Vineyard Market in Ozark, mm-hmm. which is very nice. Pricey, like it would be pricey to just sit there and drink for hours, but we had dinner and a couple drinks and then we came up to town and went to Bob and Ike's, which looks like a seedy hole in the wall, but it actually was pretty nice inside.
Bob and
Ike. I don't know
and it is in the Plaza Tower Shopping Center.
Oh, that's oh. far away from me.
Right, it's pretty close,
but that is a seedy,
that's a seedy
I
area.
Know I, but you know, I'm gonna harp on it. Like, they've shut down those gaming centers.
They have not shut down all the sex shops over there. But
oh, Priscilla's is not. I would not call it a sex shop. It's a lingerie shop.
I think there's more than lingerie.
Well, there is
in the back room. Like,
I haven't been to the bathroom there.
Back room.
Oh, the back room.
Oh God!
I was like, what? What is happening in the bathroom?
Do not go into the bathroom at Priscilla's.
Okay. A Priscilla's or a Eros or an Adam and Eve or whatever is not like
Paradise.
Like I don't even know what Paradise is.
Well, that is like a sex store, like with the video rooms.
Oh God.
Oh shit. Yeah. That's like hardcore, Lauren. I don't know about that.
Mm.
With the, I feel like I'm like on a by myself talking about this.
I know what the other three were. I guess I have seen Paradise, but I didn't know what it was.
Yeah, I've never even like, heard of it. It's on West Sunshine. Sunshine,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I've never even heard of it.
Well, you know you can get a really great steak dinner at Illusions, right? Not Illusions. Oh my God. Centerfolds.
Yeah. Centerfolds.
Yes. Apparently they have the best steak dinner in town.
Here's a gross story for you. So Thor's company does sound and lighting. And so sometimes they get called out to these strip clubs. There's several in town.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one called like, I can't even remember the name of it. And I don't want to out his like client either. So, but they, he and his best friend Tyler have had to go to this specific strip club multiple times during the day with the lights on.
Oh.
Yeah. So let me tell you what is not pleasant and what has scarred my husband. And I guess like lights are on and they're like looking at the ceiling tiles with the light flashlight. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like just
yeah.
like seeing how just exactly how dirty and nasty these like rundown strip clubs are. Mm-hmm. And super sad story. There's still strippers on the stage dancing during the day.
Right. Because they're open.
It's just sad. And like there's like one guy in there. You know, like it's just like it was just it's sad and disappointing.
That poor is.
Guy. That poor one guy.
Yeah. Yeah. What is he doing with his life?
Maybe he has social anxiety.
He
maybe.
Might. And that works perfect for him.
Yeah. Just him and the stripper. One stripper.
Okay. So I do have a couple articles for us.
Of course. Yes.
So social anxiety is one of those things where lots of people say they have it. I say I have it. I've never been diagnosed, but it is a real diagnosis. So I thought I found a good article from Cleveland Clinic that runs through the actual symptoms of social anxiety. So I thought we'd run through those and maybe we can all self-diagnose ourselves.
Okay.
But if you think that you have social anxiety, you should reach out to a mental health professional and they can help you.
Yes.
Take care of yourself. We have to do that.
Don't do what I do. Okay, so Cleveland Clinic says social anxiety disorder is a medical condition that causes fear and anxiety when you're around people in social situations. People with social anxiety fear being judged or watched by others. This disorder is treatable with talk therapy and medications such as antidepressants. And that's what makes me think, like, I probably don't have true social anxiety. I mean, I don't. I do fear having to talk to people or being judged, but I don't know if it's because I'm being judged or just like I just don't want to do it. I don't think I'm afraid of them judging me.
Oh, I for sure
it's yeah
the judging until probably the last I've been medicated now for like 5 years, and that I don't know if it went away because of age or it went away because of my medicine, but I very self-conscious, extremely self-conscious.
I don't know.
For a very, very long.
I don't know if I can pinpoint what it is. Like, I just genuinely don't want to do it. I just like have this fear. Like I just don't want to do it. Like, okay, I have a primary care provider that just left the health system they were in. And my mom sees the same primary care provider. And I am 37 years old. And I had to be like, Mom, call and ask what we're supposed to do. Like, call. Here's my question. Can you ask my questions when you call? And she's a freaking enabler. And so she's like, yes, I'll do that. And she did it. But like, it's things like that where I'm just like, I don't, I can't do that. I can't call that person. Like, I can't call the primary care office that like sees me as a patient. I can't do that. It's too much. But I don't know what I'm afraid of.
Yeah. Like, what's the worst thing that could happen?
Well, nothing bad's going to happen. Right. They're going to answer my questions and tell me what I need to do.
Right.
You just don't want to deal with it.
I just can't. I'm just afraid. Like, I'm genuinely afraid.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of anxiety that is.
I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe somebody can diagnose me. Okay, so here's an overview section. What is social anxiety disorder? So if you have social anxiety disorder, you have fear or anxiety in specific or all social situations, including meeting new people, check, performing in front of people. Oh, hard check.
Yeah, check.
No.
Not doing it.
I remember in speech class in college, I had to go get drunk before giving my speech. And I also think because of my social anxiety, that's probably why I used to drink so much. Yeah.
Oh, I can believe that.
For sure.
I remember my speech class in college. you had to find five people to listen to your speech, and you had to go in and you had to like videotape yourself with those five people. And it was my mom, my dad, my aunt, and my uncle who adore me, and my sister.
Yeah.
And I was talking about medical marijuana and why it should be legalized. And I had like all my facts and I knew exactly what I was supposed to say. And I was like so confident. I got in there. I still shook like a leaf. I remember my dad just like smiling and nodding at me and being like, you're okay. And I was like, I don't want to have to do this.
And these are the five people that you know and you trusted.
Yeah.
Just us in a room. And I'm just talking about something. I'm like super.
Wow.
And I was like so nervous. Like I do not want to do it. I also totally had a full on. The one and only panic attack I ever had was in high school as a theater kid. They made you audition for at least one of the musicals that year. And then they put me in it. I think because it was part of the class. Like you had to be act in the show. And I was so nervous. And I cannot sing. I cannot dance. Like I can't do any of this shit. I can't act. I can't do any of this. And I was so nervous and like choked through the audition. I'm also like truly, honestly tone deaf. And people are always like, oh, you're not really tone deaf. No, like I am actually tone deaf.
How are you a theater kid? If you couldn't sing, you couldn't dance.
I don't know how many times I have to tell you this. I was a stage manager.
Stage manager.
And stage managers just tell other people what to do all day. And they get people, they get all the creative people that are like a bunch of lost fucking squirrels all over the place to show up on the stage at one time and have their lines memorized.
Lost fucking squirrels.
This is exactly what stage management is. And you get everybody to be there on time and to do their shit and get the show done. Like
that's also what like business administration is. Or like,
well, that's why
I'm good at my job, because I was in theater and I was a stage manager. Now I can be a business administrator.
Well, and that's why I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, you're telling me all this stuff and you're saying all these things. And I'm like, I've literally watched you in rooms full of hundreds of people.
Yeah.
And speak, and you don't bat an eye.
Yeah.
You don't look nervous.
It's different. That's different.
That's insane to me.
That's different because all I'm doing is stage managing. Because
I couldn't do that shit.
All I'm doing is letting these people know what they need to go do and giving them the information. And I'm just there to support them so that they can get to, because they're the real stars of the show. Like, I'm never the star of the show. I'm just there to help support these people.
I kind of would disagree with that. Wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely have had to.
No, I'm just here to support these people. Like, typically, if I'm speaking in front of a group of people, I'm speaking in front of a group of leaders, giving them information that they need. And I do speak in front of like a couple hundred leaders at a time, but I'm giving them information they need to go and lead and their teams.
But you do it so well.
Yeah, but I don't feel like that's on stage. I feel like that's just me supporting others.
Oh my God, I couldn't do that. I couldn't.
Okay, that feels completely different.
It's the mindset that you're setting.
Yeah, because I've never seen my job as like, I'm never the lead. I'm never like in the spotlight. I'm always just there to support others.
I'm just like, so in college, I remember getting up on stage at Drury. This is when I was in a sorority. And I was one of the fraternities. I was their like nominee or whatever for like Watermelon Fest or something, like the queen. And I had to perform. I had like did ribbon dancing on stage, like goofy ribbon dancing on stage.
Nope.
But I was drunk. I mean, I'm telling you, I used to like drink before anything.
You were self-medicating.
I was self-medicating, and now I'm actually medicated. And that's why I only drink when I do this podcast now. Like, I don't drink very much, but
got it out of your system.
I got it all out of my system.
I did a few pageants when I was teeny tiny.
I can see KK putting you in pageants. Oh, yeah. Yep. For sure.
Oh, although my cousin, who's beautiful, like the most beautiful woman on the planet, my cousin Aubrey did pageants like all the way through, like growing up, like for a long time. And she was like super competitive and had all these crowns. And like, I don't know, it's like one of my favorite facts about her. And she's like, every time I bring it up, she's like, yeah, okay, thank you. Yeah, she's like so outgrown that. And yeah. It's like an adult now and like didn't even do it. I don't even think she really did it in high school, because I think when they moved here, she's kind of stopped. But she's just like, yep, thanks, I remember.
I'm conflicted about pageants, but I will say, it has to teach you a lot of great skills about being in front of people.
Oh, yeah.
And like presence. And I mean, a speech class for someone who's been in pageants their whole life should be nothing.
Oh, and I think that those girls that did pageants, like they do. They have so much self-confidence, mm-hmm. and they learn how to handle themselves.
Yeah.
And I think that they learn a lot about I mean, honestly, like, I just think the pageant world's probably pretty hard. I think they get judged a lot. Okay.
Get thick
from
skin.
Peers. And yeah, so I think that you do kind of develop that thick skin. Now, of course, like anything, I think it's kind of a, there's good pageants and there's pageants that aren't great. I mean, I don't love the concept of like the toddlers and tiaras where they've got like the flipper teeth thing.
Oh, yeah. The cover fake their, teeth.
Yeah.
And the fake hair fake and hair. The full on makeup on like a 4-year-old.
The glamour shot style.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably a little much. But I think that for like a 13-year-old that wanted to do all of that stuff, like they're the ones who want
to
do it.
They're making the decision to do it.
The parents have the money to invest in it. Then like, because it's not a cheap hobby. But like, I think that there's nothing wrong with that. I do think though that they need to be old enough to understand it and to be able to say like, yes, I want to do this or no, I don't.
Right.
Yeah. I agree with that.
That was only the second thing on the list was performing in front of people. Taking or making phone calls.
Oh, I hate it. Hate it.
Hate it.
Don't
hate
answer it, the it. Phone. And you know, that was one thing that when I was working, I probably would have been better at my job if I would have picked up the phone and called people more often than just like sending emails. But I just fucking hate it. I hate talking on the phone, even when it's work related. And Matt, his phone rings, it'll be, you know, 8 o'clock at night and he's sitting there watching TV and I would send that shit to voicemail. Mm-hmm. It's a client. He answers. He just talks to them like all the time. He always answers his phone.
I guess I must compartmentalize with work because I have no problem calling people on the phone for work or answering my phone. And I get a lot of phone calls to my cell phone for work just from random leaders that I support. Mm-hmm. And I always answer and I don't have a problem with it. But it's the home stuff.
Yeah.
That like, I'm like, I can't call the contractor that we are paying thousands of dollars to come work on something. Like, you're going to have to do that, Thor. And he's like, you're the one who knows what you want them to do.
Yeah.
Right. The absolute worst is when I get calls for my dad's business, which is gun parts, because we at one point in time, like I did a lot of his sales and my number was on business cards and everything. And so my number's floating around out there and I will get calls from customers with like issues with the part, like it's not working with their gun. And they try to explain it to me and I don't know what the hell they're talking about. And I know that like I don't sound confident because I don't know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I always just want to be like, just send it back to us and we'll look at it, you know, or we'll send you a replacement. Do you want a replacement or a refund? But my dad always wants to like have pictures of it and look at it and see if it's not fitting right or if he can modify it or all this shit. And those are the absolute worst calls. The worst. If I get those voicemails, I've started just sending them to my dad. You do deal
well,
with this.
It's probably because you don't feel confident.
There's no confidence. Right.
See, and that's where like for work, like there's very little I don't feel confident in at work. Like I know how to do my job. Mm-hmm. And so at work, I feel pretty confident. Like I can answer the phone and I can help somebody or I can get them to the person that can help them.
Yeah.
Right? So it's my personal life that I'm like, I don't know what I want from the contractor. I want that thing over there to be prettier. Right. Like I don't know what to tell them. And so it's my personal stuff that I get like way more social anxiety from.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, that's the thing we're unpacking together here on this podcast tonight because I didn't know. I didn't know that. Okay, what about using public restrooms?
I don't have a problem using a public bathroom.
I don't either.
If I gotta go, I gotta go.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't love it.
It's not my favorite. If I have to go, though,
Now, unless like, okay, a clean public restroom. Clean.
Yes.
Yeah. If it is dirty, I will hold it forever.
I will.
Yeah.
I will too.
Yeah. Like, I will hold it a very long
like
time.
Like on a road trip and like mm-hmm. stop at gas stations. Like with Thor and I, I'm always like, okay, let's find the clean gas
station.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like I'm not going to any seedy gas stations or any gas station that requires a key. That's a hard pass.
So where my house is located is so like convenient to everything that when I was growing up, we would just stop at grandma's house and pee. Oh. Like if we were running errands, mm-hmm. we would just always stop at grandma's house if we had to pee, which is now my house. And so my mom will be like, can I run by and pee? Sure. Like that's fine, you know, but to avoid using a public restroom. Yeah.
That's funny.
But I don't mind. Like if I really have to go and I'm out, I'll just go.
Yeah, I will too. Okay. Asking for help in a restaurant, store or other public place.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to be asked for help. I don't want to ask for help, nor do I want to be asked if I need help.
Correct. I'm right there
with
Please
you. Please do not talk to me.
Yeah, don't talk to me. I won't talk to you. I actually want, you know, the Ziosks that they have on the tables of all the restaurants, the little kiosk things?
Yeah.
I don't understand why I can't order through that. Why can't I do all of my ordering through that, all of my paying through that? If I need something, I type it into the Ziosk or to punch it in and somebody just brings it to me.
I will give you a bigger tip if you do not talk to me.
Yeah, if you don't talk to me, you'll get a much bigger tip.
I mean, I'm with you. I'm with you on that. Matt hates apps. Like, you know, if we're going through McDonald's to get the kids Happy Meals, I'm like over here ordering on my app. And he's
I don't do that either.
I hate apps.
I hate it. I will go to the window and
order. And I'm like, listen, there's no question about what you're ordering. They can't misunderstand you. I can order Collier's hamburger with extra pickles and no onions. And if they got it wrong, it's because they can't read, not because they can't hear or they can't read. Mm-hmm. It just takes out some of the question, I feel like. And you can use your points. Like, it's already connected. You don't have to whip out your card. Like, it's already
and
connected
there's no,
to
like,
that.
Weird commentary.
No.
Like, weird joke that doesn't land correctly or comment on
that,
what you're ordering.
The awkwardness.
Yeah, hard pass.
I will
don't
say
deal with it.
Seven Brew, you know, they're getting ready to open. They always, it must be in their the way they're taught.
Yeah.
But they're like, so do you have any big plans for today? And I'm like, yeah, laundry.
Like, yeah, they are. Like they
that
are the
is,
most
they are chatty catties.
And they are chatty.
Another reason I'll never go there. Like, hard pass. I don't want them
they
to ask me what
they are
I'm
very, very that's, chatty.
That's not their business.
But they if you're, like, on the phone or something, they'll leave you alone.
Yeah.
I feel like they're pretty intuitive. But, yeah, they must be taught to, like, really engage in conversation.
Another reason I don't like to go to the grocery store is because as they check you out and they, like, make comments, oh, I love this brand. Oh, have you tried this? I haven't tried this yet. And I'm like,
that is why I do self-checkout.
I will not speak to you. I won't respond to them.
That's
I will just
why
stand
I
there
do
and
self-checkout.
Stare at them and be like, well, that's why I have my groceries delivered. Well, I don't talk to anybody. And I do contactless delivery. So they just drop that shit off at my house.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I talk to them.
So you have
that's what
literally
I do
nothing
literally
to talk,
no
nothing to deal with.
No,
I usually do pickup for all my, like, obviously Target every other day, but Hy-Vee I'll do pickup. But I have, if I have something delivered or like DoorDash or pizza, like, just leave it on the porch. Leave it on the porch. Don't and even ring my doorbell. It's gonna upset the dogs.
Thor does not have social anxiety. He just doesn't want to deal with people. But he will, they'll, like, stay every once in a while, like, even though we put contactless delivery in the app, like, every once in a while when they deliver something, they'll just stand out there and wait on you, and he'll be like, just put it down and go. Like, he'll just yell at him through the glass, like, he's not dealing with them. He's like, just put it down and go. Whereas I'm like, I don't know what to do. I just have to live in the hallway now because I can't go in the living room because there's somebody at the door. Or I'll call Thor and I'll be like, somebody rang the doorbell, and he's like,
go get
it.
Are they still there?
Yes.
And I'm like, I don't know. And he's like, okay, well, I work 7 miles away and I cannot come home to check on the doorbell. But sometimes he'll look at it through the app and he'll be like, they're gone. I'm
like, oh my God. You're safe. You can go back out in the living room.
Okay. Dating.
Yeah. Hard pass.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Nope.
Well, that's why I think I always did, like, group dates with friends, because, like, I was not interested in being alone with a person having to, like, carry a conversation. Like, are you kidding me?
No.
Also, drunk. I was drunk when I met Matt. So I would just drink.
I will say I don't feel like I leaned on alcohol nearly enough as a crutch for my social anxiety. I'm learning this too late in life.
I would say that I probably did too much. But
okay. Answering a question in front of people.
Like, how many people are we talking?
I don't know.
Like, if it's like
Cleveland Clinic doesn't give us that information.
If it's like, you know,
just says answering a question in front
of
people.
If it's like 5, maybe 8, maybe 10 people, I could probably do it. But a room full, nope.
It depends what people.
I can give you another horror story from my life.
Oh, no.
My husband has a work party at the end of every year. They do it actually in January. It's kind of their Christmas party. They're like year end wrap up. They talk about how they did the previous year and their goals for the next year. Spouses are invited, you dress up, you go. It's always a very nice dinner. Patty Wingo always caters it with Simply
delicious.
And Simply Delicious and Patty, they are the best caterer in Springfield.
Wonderful.
So if you're looking for a caterer in Springfield, use Patty. So it's always fun. It's a great event. They do it at the Diamond Room. It's fantastic. They have this DJ they use every year. His name is Brock. And he does this terrible game, or the company does a terrible game. I don't know whose idea the game is, but they have this game where they take like 40 gifts or 30 gifts. Like, it's a lot of gifts, and they wrap them up. And it might be a 2-night stay at the chateau, or it might be a $500 cash bonus, or it might be like poop soap. You know, like, mm-hmm. it's you might get something really good, or you might get like a gag gift. So it's cute. Like, it's fun. But to have people come up, they draw names out of like a bowl, and so they have everyone's there's name in a bowl. And like, my nightmare for like 2 months before this event every year is that I will get called up there and have to answer questions, because Brock, the freaking MC, stands up there and he'll be like, oh, what's your name? And you have to answer his name. And, oh, are you an employee or a spouse? I'm a spouse. Oh, who's your significant other? Oh, it's Thor. Oh, tell me something you don't like about Thor. And I'm like, my answer would be like that he made me come here and talk to you.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, he asks like terrible questions that like I'm not socially adept enough to be able to answer. And so thank God I have never been called up there. But one of my close friends is actually Thor's boss, Ryan. And so I have told Ryan multiple times, like, our friendship hinges on my name not being in that bowl. Not only not me, I mean, I'm never being called up there, but like my name not being in the bowl. Like, yeah. I need to not be in that bowl. So it's stressful. So I don't know. But answering questions in front of people, I don't want to do.
I mean, but I would do like trivia. I'd be fine with that. Or like that. I don't know. I feel like that would not bother me at all.
I feel like I would go to trivia night. Oh, I have gone to trivia night. Answered the question, but not had to be the person that shouts it out, or
hey, it holds the board up or whatever.
Yeah, holds the board up, oh, or yeah, writes it down, or doesn't whatever that looks me like. Not been the spokesperson. Also, I just go to trivia with Thor, and then he
you don't do anything. Yeah, he does it all.
I just drink, and it's right. Good.
It's good.
Eating in front of people—that's an interesting one. I don't feel like I have that.
I don't think I have that either.
I don't know. I feel like going out to eat with people I know is one thing. I do feel a little self-conscious, like at Matt's Christmas party, like sitting around eating with people I don't know.
That is different. That is like having to have dinner with strangers.
Well, it's not so much the talking. I mean, the talking is a whole nother piece of that. But sitting there and like, I don't know, you just feel kind of self-conscious, like chewing and
ask
a question. And you're going to have food in your mouth. Right. And, you know, put your napkin down and it falls on the floor, and then you're under the table like getting your nap, you know, just that type of shit.
Yes, I feel like a couple times a year I end up having to go to dinner with like executives that we go to restaurants I don't go to, like I don't feel comfortable and they're like too mm-hmm. nice, and I always feel like a fish out of water the yeah. entire night. But I don't yeah. it's not necessarily about eating in front of them, so it's just like the entire experience.
Yeah, just yeah,
being like trapped at this table with these people, and they think they're doing something so nice and taking you out and like, you know, like pampering mm-hmm. you, and I'm just like, I went away from here, like I yeah. want to not be here. And like the right answer was a gift card, like this yeah. is not like, this is not it.
And if you're going to get me a gift card, it better be DoorDash.
Or to Macadoodles.
Yes.
Or to Grove Spa.
Not to go like, out yeah. to a restaurant
with you.
Yeah.
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 Yep.
And the last one that they give as an example is participating in an interview.
Which that gives everybody anxiety.
Oh, I was going to say, this is one I don't understand, because that's another one where like I can flip the corporate switch on and be like, well, that's just part of.
Like, if you were going to go interview for a new job, you wouldn't have any anxiety over that?
No, because I would be prepared for it. I would have done all my research. God. I would know exactly what questions I want to ask. I would have done my prep with my dad.
I was and nervous he would have about asked me interviewing the... with you.
You were nervous about
interviewing. Well, a little bit.
First of all, did we actually do an interview?
No. And also, and Ted second, did not interview me.
Okay. So, because we were all your friends.
Yeah.
So you, nope. We reached out to you and asked you to come do this very specific job for us that we built because we needed you to come do it.
I know, but
You came in and we both sat down with you, each sat down with you to answer any questions you had about the job that we were asking you to come do.
There was a panel interview and I knew like 4 out of 5 people in the panel.
And they also all wanted you to come do this job.
Yeah.
Nervous. Designed for you to ask whatever questions you had about the job.
Think about how bad I would be in a normal interview.
Because when we set up this job, everyone told you None of us know how to do this shit, and we need you to come figure it out. These are new processes that are not happening, and we need you to figure out how to do it for us. And you can't ask us any questions because we don't know the answers. Like, that was like the whole thing. And then you were nervous about that? Are you kidding
me? Yeah, I was nervous.
I'd be more nervous about, like, I'm going to work with these people that don't even know what I'm supposed to be doing.
I was nervous when I interviewed with all of you.
Yeah.
But that was maybe a real interview, though.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I didn't know you interview. At the time.
No. Like, we kind of knew, like,
yeah,
knew, but it wasn't like this.
Yeah. Well, no. I only knew you because you were friends with my mom.
Yeah.
But, like, you and I hadn't spent any real time
together, but I don't know if I'd ever met you face to face.
No, no.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was a little intimidating.
I understand you being intimidated because, like, it was a real job interview. But yeah. Lauren was like, we were like, very specifically, can you come do this very specific job that we need you to do? And she's like, nervous about it? What?
Yeah, also, I was nervous.
You were nervous with me?
Listen, I had been a stay-at-home mom for like 2 years, 3 years, and I was nervous about coming into the office, about dressing professional, about I didn't know who was in the panel interview, if I would know them or not.
Yeah.
I thought Ted would actually interview me.
I don't know why you thought Ted was actually
going to interview you. I don't know. He talked about personal stuff the whole time, so that was fine. But
did I seem nervous when you guys interviewed me?
No,
I was.
I mean, I remember for you, it was more about like, do you want this job?
Yeah,
and you and I talked about like what the role was and what you were going to be doing, and just do you want it? Mm-hmm. And is this a thing you want to do?
Like changing departments after such a long time, is that something that you actually
who you were going to work with?
Yeah.
Tasks you were going to be asked to do, but like I never had any doubt. I mean,
I think you walked out of the interview and we're all just like, we love her.
Yeah, we were.
She's gonna fit in.
I wonder
great.
If she really wants it because she's fantastic.
I totally did.
Yeah,
and then it changed
because we used to do.
So then
group,
I changed.
We used to do group interviews.
Yeah,
with all of us in the office, essentially like our little team.
Yeah, that's always been important to me as a leader because I feel like this is okay. This is our corporate girly podcast now.
Yeah.
And I feel like the most important thing you can do whenever you hire somebody new is find that right team fit. And it has to be somebody who fits in with the team. And every team culture is different. And every time you hire somebody,
yes,
you are resetting the team culture.
Yep.
And it is going to change the team culture. And so you have to hire somebody who is going to get along with that team and whatever works for them. So I have always been adamant on building, because I have always led support teams that support others. We're not necessarily the leaders, we're the supporters. And so I've always been adamant on you have to have people willing to serve others and willing to stop what they're doing to help with fires and to support each other. Mm-hmm. And that means no drama and no backstabbing. And like, we're just all here to support each other because someone's going to have a fire every day that we all need to go help support. And so that has always been, I have to have that person that can be part of the team and wants to support each other and not create drama. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think the panel interviews with your peers are so important.
Yeah.
We had a good team.
We were probably intimidating because you come in and we're just like, we love each other and we're a family. And like, and then you're probably thinking like, oh, God, can I mesh with these people?
Oh,
and like, but you fit in great. Amanda was a great hire. We had several really great hires. I felt like that fit in great with the team.
We had a good team.
Yep. Those were the days.
I do feel like I can hire people.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got us all together. Can. I mean.
That is a skill Ted taught me. Ted was so good, or is still so good at finding the right talent for the right role and the person that'll fit in with the team. And I feel like I really learned from him. So.
Yeah. You get rid of people that like have bereavement because of their fish.
Yeah, I know how to fire people too. Yeah, I can fire you if you don't fit in with the team. If you're dragging everybody else down, if you are causing a lot of drama, then I don't
need
you in my life.
Taking advantage of the bereavement policy.
No, we spend too much time at work to deal with people who just cause drama or make it harder. Like we need to be able to enjoy our lives and support each other and then go home to our families and not have to worry about work whenever we go home.
Yep.
It's true.
Totally agree.
Okay, well, let's get back to social anxiety, the podcast we're supposed to be leading. Here is a quick article from Mayo Clinic that we'll also post, but it's also on social anxiety. And I'm not going to go through, like, it talks about how to get the diagnosis and a lot of different treatments. It talks about psychotherapy, medications, things like that. But I liked at the very bottom, it just kind of gives this little list of lifestyle and home remedies. And it kind of gives you some things that you can do just to adjust and just to make it a little bit easier with social anxiety. And I feel like obviously I need that. Sounds like Lauren could use some help from it. Amanda's got her shit together and doesn't need it. So here they are.
Okay.
Learn stress reduction skills. Of course, it doesn't tell us what those are, but I guess we'll Google it. Get physical exercise or be physically active on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
I will say when I exercise, which I've been trying to do more of, and when I do exercise regularly, I feel like I have so much more energy, mm-hmm. which I then feel like energy, which is amazing to me that you can exercise and expend energy and then feel more energetic. But I do. Right, yeah. I feel more like I have more energy. And then I feel like that extra energy gives me more resilience.
Yeah.
It's like to get through the day and not let things get to me as easily.
Mm-hmm.
Get enough sleep.
Well, working on it.
Yeah.
I can get my sleep.
If I don't have plans for the evening, then I'm like out.
Yeah,
I've been laying down with Goldie to put her to sleep, and I'm out with Goldie.
Eat a healthy, well-balanced diet. Uh-huh. Make sure you get that peanut butter in your Andes.
Yep, and all that water.
Yep.
All that water.
All that water.
Avoid alcohol.
Uh-oh.
Oops. Limit or avoid caffeine. This is the one I just refuse to believe in.
The caffeine?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. I think it, once you're addicted to caffeine, like so many people are, I mean, I think avoiding it would be detrimental.
There is no one in my life that wants to see me without my caffeine.
Yeah.
I drink so much tea in a day. Like, we don't want to see what happens if you don't give me the caffeine.
Same. Well, Diet Pepsi, but same.
Mine used to be Diet Coke, but I got myself off of it.
I am proud of you for that.
I'm going to be proud of you when you do it.
I don't want to do it.
This last one's a good one. Participate in social situations by reaching out to people with whom you feel comfortable, which I feel like is exactly what we talked about.
Right.
Like going places.
Or doing what we're doing right now.
Yeah. Burying our souls to the internet. Yeah. But we're doing it together.
We're doing it together. Yes.
That is the thing that amazes me. Like, I think people that know all three of us or any of us, like, I imagine they're all very surprised that, like, who's doing a podcast?
Yeah.
Yep.
And they're talking about what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're just embarrassing ourselves and being as vulnerable as possible for you people.
Showing people that if we can do it, they can do it.
That's true. Yeah. And
sounds so cheap.
If we look like we have our lives put together, it's a farce.
Yeah. If y'all think I have my shit together all the time, I really don't.
I highly doubt anyone thinks that I have my shit together. Like, I doubt that's a thing that goes through anyone's mind. Okay. Last article I have for you guys.
Okay.
On introvertdear.com, Roxana Alexandru, I'm sure I said that wrong, I'm sorry, posted 10 weird things I do as a socially anxious introvert. So we'll post this article as well, and I won't do all of the intro, but she just talks about how she's an introvert, and like these are weird things that she does that I read through and thought, oh my gosh, this is the most relatable article I've read in a long time. And so I thought it'd be fun to go through. And so I'm really interested in knowing that, like, I am on the extreme end of social anxiety, and then Lauren's maybe a little bit better, and then Amanda like hardly has any. Like, I'm interested to see how we all relate to these different things.
I'd love for our listeners to
chime in and let us know.
Yeah, to chime in.
Okay. So number one says planning conversations in advance.
I can see you doing that.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Like, oh yeah. If I have, like, for every meeting I have booked, like, I know exactly what I want to say and what I want to present and what I want to get across. And I try hard to think through, like, what questions are they going to ask me and how am I going to respond to that? Like, I put so much thought into pre-planning things. Even like if I have to call and order something.
You have to plan it out.
Yeah. I think through, like, what they're going to ask me, because I don't want to be caught off guard. And then inevitably someone's going to ask me some dumb question and I'm going to be like, how the fuck am I supposed to answer that? I don't know what to say. Right. But I get thrown.
Yep.
Did you, when you were growing up and you would go through the classroom and like read a portion of the textbook, like popcorn reading or whatever, did you ever figure out what portion you were going to read and memorize it before they got to you?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then feel completely thrown off if somehow you read the wrong one.
Right.
Yeah.
I always wanted to be able to say it without looking at the book.
Yeah, I was kind of the same thing. I hated the idea of stumbling or over a word and being like, oh, they're going to think I can't read.
Right.
I do that every freaking week when we do this, when I'm reading the Hot Mess Express.
That's why I think you read it, because I'm afraid.
That's why when we get there, I'm like, okay, I got to read it. I got to figure out what I'm saying.
You didn't answer, though. Do you plan out conversations in advance?
No.
Not at all?
Not usually.
Is that what it's like to be normal?
I'm not normal. I have other things. Like, I was just looking through all these. This is my favorite one because this is so me.
Okay, well, wait for the others until we get to them.
Okay.
Okay, so do you plan them out, though, Lauren? Your conversations?
Depends.
Okay. Okay, well, I plan my conversations.
I'm somewhere in the middle.
I'll even, like, if I have to call my mom and be like, I can't come to lunch on Sunday, I'll even, like, plan out, like, what my excuse is.
I'll know.
What I'm going to give her in return, because she's going to barter for something. And, you know, like, I will, like, think through all of that. Because she will get me. She will get me. She'll be like, well, then I guess you're going to have to go do this thing you don't want to do. Or, you know,
I guess whatever you're gonna have to come out in this big group of public people that you don't want to do.
I already have social anxiety because my dad is having a family. Like, he has, like, for some reason decided to do a family reunion every year at his house with his side of the family, which I get that, like, it's just his siblings mostly. But then, like, that's so many cousins because they all have a billion kids. And I'm just, like, already stressed out over it. And these are people I've grown up with my entire life. Like, there will be nobody there that I don't know.
That you don't
know. Actually, this is the side of the family I like and I relate to and I enjoy seeing.
But you're still stressed out about it.
There's going to be so many of them in one spot. Yeah. And, like, when he tells us about it, he'll send a text to all the kids and he'll be like, I expect everyone to be there. Like, it's not like a...
not optional.
Oh, no, it's not optional.
Yeah.
This is a mandatory meeting that you all have to attend.
Yeah, it's basically that.
Yep.
Experiencing a racing heart after making the mistake of waving at someone.
I can't say I have had that happen to me.
You have had that happen?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen somebody waving and then you go to wave back and realize they're not actually waving at you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Or saying hi or like good morning. Yes! Or, yeah. And they're like talking to someone as I'm pulling cords out behind you.
Lauren's
yeah.
destroying the podcast studio.
Sorry.
Yeah, they're talking to somebody behind you and you're like, oh, shit.
Yes. I can like vividly remember several examples of that. And I'm like, this is why I don't go out in public. This is humiliating. Running across the store aisle to avoid being seen by someone.
Oh, God, always. I never want to see anyone I know in public.
Me either. Well, first of all, I will avoid going down an aisle if somebody else is in it, even if I don't know them.
I do that
I don't want to deal with it.
I do that.
And especially if I'm with Thor, he's 6'3", so it's inevitable that some little lady or somebody's going to, can you reach that off the top shelf? And I don't want them to talk to him either. I don't want anyone to talk to us. Like, leave us alone.
We're in a bubble.
Yeah, like, leave us alone. So I will avoid going down aisles. But oh my God, if I see somebody I know in public, especially if I only vaguely know them. Now, if I see like one of you, I would track you down and be like, oh, but if you're not in my inner circle, then I'm just like, please don't see me. Please don't. Like,
yeah, it's the same. I always, for some reason, I always like know who they are, but I always don't. I always think they're not going to know who I am.
Yeah.
But like, if I know who they are, they probably know who I am too.
Yeah,
the logic does not work.
Yeah, but we're not going to find out though.
We're not going to find out. We're not sticking around. We are two aisles away.
Yep.
Begging another person to make phone calls on my behalf.
I'm sure. Yeah, we've talked about that.
We've talked about that one. Yep. Sure, do that. Now, do you do that, Amanda? Or are you making the phone calls for everyone in your family?
No.
No, she says.
It depends on what it is. If it's like something like maintenance-y type that has to be done around the house, I'm like, I can't do that. But like, you know, I don't know, like with the kids appointments, I can make those. I have no problems with that. Cameron has gotten to where she's making her own appointments now, which is, that's a big deal for her because she's, you know, she's got a little bit of social anxiety going on. But no, I will make the appointments unless it's something like mechanical. Then I have no clue what I'm doing.
I do wonder if a flip switches when you become a mom and it's like you just have to do it.
I mean, like doctor's appointments and stuff, I have no issue, especially if I can go online and do them. Yeah. That's
right.
Great.
Yeah. Right.
So it's something
I don't have to talk to anybody.
Then it's like, right. You just do it.
But if it's like calling the plumber or even calling the housekeeper, which I feel like is something traditionally like a woman would have done, Matt just does that. It's great. He knows. He just knows. He's like, I'll just do that. Like, I'll do that. I'll take care of it. because he knows I don't want to deal with it. Yeah. He knows I don't want to call him.
So our problem in our relationship is that I am maybe a little more controlling than I need to be about things, or just really want things done a certain way. And so Thor will be like, I'm not going to memorize your 15 rules. Just call them and tell them yourself.
Right.
Or like if we do. So we live in this old house and we've done like so many, like we brought in different contractors and done so many different projects. And Thor will be like, you are going to have to talk to this person because I am not a mind reader and you need to tell them what you want them to do. Mm-hmm. Because if he tells them, then he's only going to get like half of it right. You know, mm-hmm. And so then he's like, you have to tell them what you want.
But you don't want to.
I don't want to. And so then I put it off like right now. So we like to save up and do something. So he told me like months ago, he's like, you know, we've probably saved up enough. Like we can do our next big project. And I'm like, yeah, but I don't want to talk to
anybody. I don't want to talk to anybody.
And I want it to be my fireplace. I want to rip out the old fireplace stuff, clean it out, like scrub those bricks and put in a new insert. Mm-hmm. Just like more modern looking logs, and I think it would be so pretty, and it would like, I feel like it would help with the dust because I feel like that fireplace is super dirty and it probably needs to be cleaned just for safety reasons. I don't want to have to explain that. That's too many words to say to a person. I can't do that.
So we had Matt, one of his friends from that he goes to drill with, and then another guy that they work together doing construction, and they were gonna come do like some freelance stuff on the weekends for us and like knock out all these projects. It's kind of sad because one of them got deployed, so now we're kind of stuck for a while. Yeah, but anyways, you know, so Matt like is like taking him around the house and bullshitting with them, telling them all the different things we want to do, what things we've done, what we want to have done, what we've messed up, what doesn't work, this and that. And then he would be like, all right, babe, on the stairs, what color did you want the stain to be? And I could be like, oh, I want it as dark as you can do it. And that's it. Like, I just had to answer my question and I'm out. Like, he can walk around and bullshit him. And then he calls me in whenever there's like a question that he knows I need to answer because I have the answers. Good and job, he doesn't Matt. Know. I know. I'm telling you, he's really good with this. Like, he's very protective of like my social anxiety.
I feel like Thor is just like shoving me off the boat because he doesn't have it. He's just like, go talk to the person.
You can do this.
Yeah. Okay. This is a good one because I was like, oh, hell, I wouldn't do this either. Asking a friend to ask someone to take a picture because you don't want to ask someone to take a picture yourself, which I'm like, that's why God invented selfies. So that I don't ever have to talk to anybody. And in fact, I get stressed out whenever like Thor and I are taking a selfie somewhere and somebody's like, do you want me to take your picture? And
yep.
Nope, sure don't.
Well, I do want them to, but I don't want to tell them to do it because I don't want to inconvenience them.
I married somebody with very long arms so that we can take selfies.
For that reason and that reason alone.
And I don't want you to talk to me about it. You know, like, I want you to pretend like you don't see me. I want us to not be interacting with each other.
Mm-hmm. See, I'll just let Matt ask them to take it.
That's pretty good that you've got Matt.
I'm telling you, he's perfect. Like, he's my perfect match. He's perfect for me, at least in that respect, because he just does it. He's so outgoing.
Refusing to call out someone's mistake.
Depends. Obviously, I'll call out Jordan.
Depends on how much you love them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that for me, that's depending on who it is.
Yeah. And probably like what kind of mistake it is too.
Yeah.
Well, and what context is it in, right? Like if this is like somebody who reports to me, then like we're going to sit down and have a conversation about it.
Right.
I mean, but like no one's in trouble, but we're going to just talk about it and see what we can do to make sure it doesn't happen again.
Right.
If it's somebody who doesn't report to me or isn't related to me. No.
Like if we're going through like the PTA agenda and there's something on there that's not right. Like if it's super insignificant, I'm not going to say anything. If it's something that I'm like, oh, that could actually cause confusion, then I'll speak up and say something. Like it needs to be corrected because it could cause.
Yeah.
I always try to like, I guess, think about how big a mistake is it?
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I do that with work stuff too. Like if it needs clarification, although lots of times, so I support executives at work a lot and they'll just say like the completely wrong thing in front of a bunch of people. And I'm like, I can't correct that right now. Like what, even though I know, like I totally could and like nobody in the room would be upset by it, but like, I feel like I can't undermine them.
Right.
And then I'm like, we're going to have to like, I don't even know how we're going to fix this now. Like, this is a huge mistake. I don't know how we're going to fix it.
You've screwed everything up.
Then I have to, like, go figure it out after the meeting. Yeah. Yeah, because lots of time like miscommunication happens. And if I were probably just a little braver to be like, oh, wait, can we just talk about that one thing? Yeah. Yeah. Whatever. Now, if you're my family, I'll cut your mistakes to you all day long.
Oh, like, yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not asking a question when I need help.
I will do everything in my power to figure it out before I ask somebody for help.
To my detriment.
To my detriment. Yeah.
Yep.
Which I think in some ways would like make me, would make me better at my job. Uh-huh. Because instead of just being like, can you tell me how to do this? Can you tell me how to do, like, I would get really resourceful.
Until you get so deep into a hole because you haven't asked for help.
Right.
That it's like you can't crawl out of it.
Right. Yeah.
You and I are both bad about that.
Yes, we are. But I also, I think it does teach like how to be resourceful and like some bias for action.
But it also, like, your boss has no idea that you even need help until like it's so far late, mm-hmm. it's so far gone. Like, you and I both do that. And having like been your boss and also having a boss who super wants to support me, like, I've done that too, where I'm just like, I'm so far in this hole and you don't even know that I need help. And I have just messed up.
That's me coming back from maternity leave and you looking at my thousands of emails and just going, just delete them.
Yep. Well, at that point, what were you going to do? Were you, well, the thing, the insane thing about that is you were like, I'm going to go through them all. And I was like, no, you're not.
No, you're not.
At this point, they've either figured it out or quit. Like,
that's exactly, you're like, if it's something that they still need from you, they will bother you again for it.
Yeah.
Like, just delete them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you are on,
which is very freeing.
If you are out of the office for longer than 2 weeks, you know, like if you're out for any extended amount of time at all for any type of leave, like, I feel like you got to come back and just assume those people were adults who figured out how to get their questions answered, or they will, or they will reach back out to
people. But yes,
that's the thing, is like, you're there and they will reach back out.
Yeah.
Yep.
They'll find you.
Accepting an invitation to a social event and hoping it gets canceled.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, I'm so bad at this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I also have social anxiety around, like, if somebody that I want to be friends with will invite me to something, then I'm like, oh, yeah, I need to go because I want to be friends with this person, or I want to get to know this person, you know, and then I just dread it.
Yep.
I don't want to go. I hate the thought of it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, why you should just have happy hours at your house and invite your people to that, because that's what I do and it's better. We can show up in our slippers and be fine.
Yep.
Okay. Pushing the button to close the elevator door super fast.
Yep. This is it.
This is just a normal piece. This is a normal thing, right? Like, everybody does it.
I hope so, because I do it every day.
Yeah.
I mean, every single day.
First of all, I don't know if those buttons really work. Second of all, my cousin told me one time that they don't actually work. And I
push them every day.
But I also feel like if there's someone like that I can like see like right there, then yeah, I'm going to hold it for you.
Yes.
But if it's like there's like a gray area, it's kind of like the light turning yellow, like the stoplight. Like if there's a gray area, it's either you're in or you're out. Like there's no like, oh, wait, hold on. Let me open it for you.
No hesitation.
You.
Just do it.
Yeah. You just got to be like, peace out. You're getting the next one.
This is another one where I feel like I am completely different at work than I am in my personal life. If I'm at work and I'm going to hold open that elevator for somebody to get on, like, I'll hold that elevator open as long as I need to help somebody. Like, because I'm masking at work, right? And so it's this mask of, like, cheerfulness and pleasantness and helping the clients and whatever they need, right? If I'm just, like, a customer at a place, I will shut that elevator in your face to not have to ride it. Or get off the freaking elevator so I don't have to ride it with you. Like,
and my husband is the one that will strike up the conversation with the person on the elevator.
No.
That makes him the worst, like, type of person. He's going to burn in the seventh layer of hell for that. Like,
I hate elevators anyways. Like, I have a fear of being caught in an elevator. And so if it's higher than the second or third floor, I'm taking the stairs. If I can go to the second or third floor, I'm going to take the stairs. But if I have to go higher, then I have to, like, okay, you're going to get stuck on an elevator with, you know, five or six people and die in a corner.
Oh, okay, I had an intern once. This is terrible. I had an intern once, and she was, like, super afraid of clowns, which I didn't know. I mean, because how does that come up? But she got in an elevator, and a clown happened to get in the elevator with her, which also, like, how often does that happen?
Right.
This was in a hospital, and a clown was going to, like, the children's floor, right?
I would have shit my pants.
And the elevator gets stuck.
No.
And the lights go out.
No.
This poor girl.
Dead on the ground.
Wait, was this while she was interning for you, or was this like a story she told?
No, this was while she was interning for me. And she was a high school intern, which is worse because I do not like doing high school interns because, you know, like I just feel like I have to take care of them more because they're babies. God. And this happens to her. And I'm like, so now I feel like a terrible person. And I think it was like 10 minutes. Like, it was a long time. Like, she was like stuck in that elevator for like 10 minutes with this clown. I'm sure there were emergency lights or something, but I just think, like, of all the fears you could possibly have.
Oh my God. Like, the freaking picture in my head right now, especially when you said the emergency lights, I was just like, yeah, there would have been a puddle of pee on the floor.
And I guess, like, the guy was, like, so kind and understanding and was, like, so, like,
I totally wouldn't care.
He was, like, taking his wig off and being like, it's okay, I'm so sorry, and I'll stay way over here. I'm sure she was. Oh, and, like, I felt so bad for her. And I didn't find out until, like, the next day. And I was like,
Do I need to find you
a grief counselor? You know, I was just like, oh, no.
That is crazy. It's, like, the perfect storm.
Yeah.
I know. Like, what are the chances of being afraid of a clown and actually getting stuck in an elevator with them? Because how many clowns do you come across?
And how many times do you get stuck in an elevator? Never.
Yeah, I know.
What that the hell? Girl.
She should have gone and bought a lottery ticket that day.
Yeah, for real.
Okay, last one. Going in the wrong direction in order to not inconvenience other people. I do this. Like, if I'm in the car and I'm, like, trying to turn left and everybody behind me is trying to turn right and I, like, can't get across the lanes, I will just turn right and, like, go three blocks out of my way so I don't have to deal with somebody honking behind me.
Yeah, I kind of do that.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because I just don't want to, deal with it.
Yes.
I try to be, like, a really conscientious driver, like, for other people, you know, like, making sure you pull up to the light in case, then get over to the other lane, like, so there's not a ton of room between cars, you know. But, man, if I'm in my car, and I drive a big, big car, like, don't fuck with me.
There you go. I like it.
I will just run you off the road.
Yeah.
This week's Hot Mess Express, hashtag relatable.
Yeah, I would say so.
So fitting.
I thought that this was a perfect one for our social anxiety episode. It's from The Independent in the UK, which I think we've done a couple of articles from The Independent. I have no idea if they're like a good news source, if they're like a Daily Mail type.
I'll have to ask Freya.
Yeah, ask Freya how reliable The Independent really is. But anyway, it's a great story. So it's posted by Samuel Osborne, and it says, woman mortified after buying McDonald's meal for homeless man only to discover he was an ordinary customer.
Oh, my gosh.
Read it to us, Amanda. This is like so something I would do. Yeah. So this is why I don't leave the house.
A woman was left mortified in the McDonald's after she bought a man eating tomato ketchup a meal because she believed he was homeless, only to discover he was an ordinary customer waiting for his meal. Claire Varin was buying breakfast in McDonald's in Halifax town center when she saw an unshaven man with a rucksack sat at a table eating ketchup from a sauce dispenser. Okay, in her defense, I probably would have thought the same thing.
I know,
thing.
That's weird.
Fearing he was homeless and hungry, she decided to buy him a meal. As she placed it in front of him, a member of staff brought over another meal and apologized to the man for the wait. Miss Varin told the Daily Mail, I felt like I was going to die of embarrassment. She said, to be honest, my imagination ran away with me. Had this poor man been out on the streets all night? Was this the only food he would eat all day? Maybe he has no money and was starving. I thought only desperation could lead someone to eat ketchup. I felt really sorry for him. It was a very cold morning. And I thought, how can I sit here with this meal and leave him sit there with just ketchup? He must have sat there for a good 10 minutes, so I assumed he hadn't ordered and had just come in from the cold. She said she felt fantastic that in some way she had helped the man, but left the restaurant as quickly as she could when she discovered he was an ordinary customer. She added, I really enjoy McDonald's breakfast now and again, but I think I'll have to give the store a miss in the mornings in case I see that man again.
I probably would have done the same thing.
I know. I mean, think you're being so nice. And like this poor guy's just eating ketchup. But it turns out he just likes ketchup. And he's just waiting at his breakfast.
Fucking weird.
And not even like out of the packets. That's what I was thinking. Oh, he's probably like sucking on a ketchup packet. No, he's eating it out of the dispenser.
Well, he probably was filling up those
little cups. Like, and like,
yeah, the cups.
Well, who knows though? Like, was he actually eating it? Or like, had he just filled it up for his meal? And like, maybe like just tasted it while he was sitting there. And then she interpreted that as.
That's true.
Eating, yeah.
Oh, he's only eating ketchup for breakfast because that's like totally something I would do. I just felt like this was so relatable. I was like,
yep.
Oh, God. This is why I don't.
Her imagination leave the house. Was just going.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Very relatable. Very. For sure.
Yep.
So no matter what you did this week, hopefully you didn't offend somebody by making them think that they looked like they were homeless. But they were. We will, of course, post it in the Facebook group. Please send us more Hot Mess Express stories. You can email them to us at hotmessroundtable@gmail.com. We're also still collecting stories for call-in episode. Yep. And I think we're getting close. We've got several, but we might do another episode. So please reach out, email us if you are interested in sharing your Hot Mess Express story. And if you are wondering what we mean when we say Hot Mess Express story, go back and re-listen to episode number one, where we all three shared our own Hot Mess Express stories. Yeah. And talked about how we do not live perfect, charming lives either. And how we kind of came to terms with it's okay to be a hot mess.
It's cool.
And how we learned those lessons. Thank you guys so much. Send us our drink suggestions, topic suggestions, and whatever else you want. And tell us in the Facebook group what gives you social anxiety. I'm like so here for it. I'm hoping somebody else is like as weird as me.
Join us next week when we talk about things I wish I knew in my 20s.
Thanks, guys.
Have a good week.
Bye-bye.